A friend is someone who comes in when the world goes out. And that happens when all the world begins to leave Mount Golgotha. As they go slowly on to their homes again, leaving there hanging, Jesus, and on each side a dying murderer. And Jesus had such friends in the last hour of his life. However, they stood in the shadows. There were some of them standing there on that mountain of Golgotha that we know. Mary, it says, and Mary Magdalene, and Salome, and there are some other women that are not named. But there's also two that were standing there that were never open disciples. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. They had something in common. They were not only both leaders of the Sanhedrin, they were also both believers in Jesus. The life of devotion and love that they began to show at this moment after Jesus has died is recorded for us in nearly all the gospel stories. It was costly what Joseph and Arimathea and Nicodemus did. Nicodemus was already prepared. He had 100 pounds of spices with him. He had it with him, it says in the Bible. Joseph Arimathea wasn't quite that prepared. At least not with the linen, because Mark says he bought it on the way out from Pilate back to the grave. But he was prepared also. For he had prepared a sepulchre. No, the spices and the linen that they bought, and by the way, the linen that it is spoken of here, it is a clean linen cloth, and indicates in the Greek that word linen is expensive, cost a fortune, wasn't used normally to wrap the dead into. But there was another loss these two would have. What? They weren't allowed to participate in the Passover the next day. They touched a dead body and were unclean. Oh, that was no sacrifice for them. They also, no doubt, long term would have a cost. They would be ousted out of the Sanhedrin, as they had joined in the Church of Jesus Christ. Now I have a question for you and for me. Is Jesus this worthy to us as well? What's the cost of our devotion? What is the price we are willing to lay down for our association, confession, devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ? These two men, they went far. And you notice that sometimes you find faith where you least expect it. Nicodemus and Joseph Arimathea, we may assume they have talked together. We may assume that in secret they have shared their impressions. It says of Joseph Arimathea, he was a man who waited for the kingdom of God. I cannot imagine that they would have not talked, and that Nicodemus would have shared with him what he heard there in the night in John 3. And what did he hear in John 3? He heard one thing. That as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. I do not know for sure, but I am beginning to wonder whether Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had deeper understanding in Isaiah 53 than any of the other disciples had at this moment. And why? Well, you notice that Joseph of Arimathea had hewn out a sepulchre in a rock. John said he also had a little garden around it. Where? Smack next to the most horrible place in Jerusalem, or outside Jerusalem. In the sight and in the sound of the place where criminals were crucified. And that wasn't the only time that this happened on the hill. Golgotha had been called the hill of a skull. No doubt it is littered with the results of those who have been crucified before. And right there, Joseph of Arimathea has prepared a grave and has put a little garden around it. Strange. You know that if you would have been a Jew, you would have never wanted to be buried outside of your hometown. And for Joseph, that was Arimathea. Certainly you would not want to be buried next to a hill of Golgotha. Can you see? God has been leading these men, and particularly Joseph, either by the hand of providence or by the eye of faith, to dare prepare for Jesus Christ a cemetery plot. Now, though all that they did, congregation, was undoubtedly a confession of love, it wasn't as much a confession of faith in the resurrection. That aspect we do not see them, at least in what we have recorded, confess. But it all changed on Easter morning. And I pray that God may pour in us the same love He poured into those men, and the same faith and joy that He gave to the disciples on the day of Easter. My text this morning, or not my text, God's word to you this morning is from chapter 28, verse 9 and 10. May I draw your attention particularly to those verses on this Easter morning. And as they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them and saying, all hail. And they came and they held Him by the feet and they worshipped Him. And then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now this morning particularly I'd like to dwell with you on verse 9. All hail is what Jesus said. And again, be not afraid. Congregation, the women have news. And what is the news that they have to carry today as the first preachers on this resurrection day? There's two things: that Jesus they buried rose from the dead. And secondly, that the Jesus they sought told them not to be afraid. And these are the two things that Jesus is saying to us this morning: that He is risen from the dead, and that those that seek Him have absolutely no reasons to fear, but may be filled with joy as you contemplate this morning the message of this gospel of His resurrection. The women have news as their feet are running it says in this verse. Go as they quickly, they departed quickly, it says in verse 8, with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples' words. Whether it was the fear that made them run, or the joy that made them run, or both made them run, but they were running. Hastening away from the scene of this open grave and this message of the angels, they are running to share the news. Many thousands today experience what those women experienced. They had buried a day and a half before or so their beloved in the grave. Matthew writes about it. A wonderful chapter in their life has ended. And they thought, forever. Some of you have gone through this. When you seal the grave, in our days with the dirt, in their days with the stone, a chapter is closed, it isn't closed. There's something not closed when we bury our loved ones. There's something not ended. Death brings separation. Death brings this never again. Death brings the chaos of thoughts. Death brings unsettled feelings. Death brings sadness and tears. And these women have felt that. They are so disconsolate by all what has taken place. None of us are going to escape this. You look at your loved one next to you today. There comes a day she or he won't be there. And you and I won't be there. That this relentless force of death taking generation upon generation into the earth again. The highlight of the Passover that they have just celebrated the day before has brought them no joy. All they could think about is this sweet voice that spoke to them with tenderness. While in his life, and also what they've heard, what he spoke on the cross, even that was tender. When he prayed, and when he ministered, and when he said something to his mother and to John. And with all those thoughts and all those feelings, there came a lot of fear. Fear of what? Are we wrong? Did we base our hope on someone who ends up again to be a vain hope? I mean, try to imagine, friends. These women thought this was the Messiah. Their hope has been stirred. Their heart has been filled with joy. They've experienced not only his goodness, but Mary Magdalene has experienced his power. As these seven devils were thrown out of her, they've all tasted something of this. And maybe now they're thinking, was all what the Anna said about 30 years ago and what Simeon said, was it not true after all? Was it what John the Baptist witnessed, behold him, the Lamb of God, and then the message he brought about him, not true after all? Maybe Mary's story about her conception, was it really true? And the shepherds, as they came out to tell what they had heard in the shepherds' fields, was it all emotion that now suddenly proved to be groundless, without hope? Now these are the struggles that these women have been struggling through together with the other disciples. Maybe it's not unlikely that there are such listening this morning here or at home that recognize this turbulence of heart, that recognize this unsettledness. Maybe you also feel fearful and you struggle with questions. And so they left the city. There's no hope left as their faith has sunk. You know, Matthew writes that they were trying to finalize the burial rite on this morning. In chapter 27, verse 61, it's just such a little picture when those men had closed the door of the sepulchre and departed, and there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. And in verse 50, and you read those women beholding afar off. Can you just picture them? Their arms are locked together. Their tears are dripping out of their eyes. It's just one big old cloud that sinks over them. And even on this Easter morning, that hasn't lifted anywhere. Bewildered, shocked. Trauma is the word I was even thinking of. For this was a hugely violent death. To see someone die in a bed, even if it's your loved one, is incomparable to seeing someone die of torture, as they thought. What happened? So these women are traumatized. And congregation, it is this framing of Easter that I want to just for a moment highlight before us. It is a painful reality that as it were begins to shine in the middle of this. That this Easter begins to shine in the middle of this painful reality of these women's lives and disciples' lives. And isn't that so today? I mean, we're living today in an unbelievable world. We've never expected something like this. Yeah, I sit with 7 people or so in church, and you all sit at home, and we sit socially distant and separated from each other with all kinds of realities around us. Over 400,000 people sick with this virus. Thousands are dying today even of this. The whole cycle and circle of our life today is very much like what these women struggled with. We live in a broken world. An extremely painful world. If you look and listen around you, all you around here is groans and tears and fears and pain. And though most of us, of course, think about the coronavirus, I'm not even thinking about that, my friend. That's only a slice of our problem today. That's only a slice of the pain today. I'm thinking of people that are healthy in their body, whose minds are ravaged, whose hearts are abused, whose wounds are deep and sore within, traumatized, broken. We live in a world where children and adults have died and are dying through horrible violence, through incredible abuse, through slavery and oppression. We need to wake up. This world is a suffering scene, and what most of us do, and I'm looking at myself and you, we stick our head out of the window and we say, oh, it's terrible out there. And we pull our head back in the window and close the window and live on in our little comfort zone. While the world is dying and while multitudes are suffering, and we're not sharing the message of the gospel of Easter. The only hope in the message of this messy, sore, painful, sore world is Jesus is risen. And you say, well, why do I remind you of all this depressing stuff on this Easter morning? Well, because Jesus rose. In the very context of this symbolic world, right next to Golgotha, right there in the sight and smell of the cross hill Golgotha, stands a sepulchre. In this horrifying hill, the place of a skull, the place of injustice, in the midst of a dark, foul, ungodly, horribly depraved world, where they crucified the Lord of glory. And dearly beloved, that scenery, there comes a music from heaven. Listen good. The Lord is risen. The Lord is risen. He is risen from the dead. Do you hear it? He rose from the dead, the angel said. He is not risen. He is not here, for he is risen. Fear not ye, for ye that seek Jesus, which was crucified, he is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Hear me? Jesus is alive. Do you hear me? Jesus is risen. Do you hear it? What God is saying to this angel? Jesus is risen. There is nothing here that could stop him from overcoming the evil of death and torture and pain and abuse and trauma and brokenness and separation and death. Nothing. Jesus is risen. Against all expectations, against all reason, beyond all reason, contrary to reality. Imagine tomorrow waking up and opening your newspaper or your newsfeed, and there's the headline, "Coronavirus has disappeared." That is nothing compared to what is the headline on Easter morning. He is risen. Beloved, Jesus is risen. From the impossible has he returned. From the death has he come out. Jesus is risen is a message of hope in this self-destructing world. We have, to our own foolish, wicked act, turn this gorgeous Garden of Eden into one large, giant cemetery. You know where you live? You live in a cemetery. You built your house on a cemetery. You raise your families on a cemetery. You build your businesses on a cemetery. And soon it opens up and you sink in it. That's the reality. And what a sad reality. But in the midst of that, there comes one out of the grave, out of the cemetery of this world. Jesus is risen. That's the message they say the angels are bringing. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. He is not here. The corruption that takes everyone down who has entered into death did not even touch him. No, the psalmist said it. Thou wilt keep my soul in hell, and I will not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. The corruption never touched Jesus. This is incredible. This never happened before. Lazarus stank. He didn't. Jesus didn't. He's risen. He's risen, friends. He's come over this corrupt, out of this grave. He was not disgraced by the power of death. He was wrapped in linen cloth, and the whole cemetery sepulchre, when it opened up, it wafted out what? The perfume of the spices. 1,200 ounces of spices were placed in that cemetery by Nicodemus. And the whole open grave is not smelling. It is smelling. It is perfuming. Beloved, what a beautiful message. In this stinking world, in this so sour place that we live in. Yes, there is so much beautiful left, but it's all on shaky ground, isn't it? We could have a funeral this week too of one of us with coronavirus. There's nothing certain about this life anymore. Never was. But now we sure see it. But come. Smell. Listen. He is risen. He has overcome death. He is alive. He has thwarted. He has conquered. He has demolished death. He has swallowed up death in victory. And that is the message of the Almighty. And come. Maybe there is one of you listening saying, I'm facing something that's irreversible. I have been broken so badly. I have such deep wounds. I face such an unbreachable gap between God and me. I'm not only broken in myself, I have broken my relationship with God. Maybe you sit there this morning in your sinkhole. Maybe you've been brought into a sinkhole by the horrible deeds of others. And maybe you feel and face the sins that you've done in your life and you say, oh my God, how could I ever do this? And I've done it. Listen, He is risen. He, the Almighty, has reversed the irreversible, has changed the unchangeable. There's no obstacle, there's no need, there's no brokenness, there's no breach, there's no sin, there's no guilt, there's nothing here. And nothing in you. And nothing by us that is too large, too deep, too broken for Jesus, who is risen from the dead. Look unto me, he says to you, all the ends of the earth. You may be as far from the end. As far away from Him, in whatever you are, circumstances, look up. Jesus is risen. Let's sing together. Psalter 391. And morning lights the eastern skies. O Lord, thy mercy show. On thee alone my hope relies. Let me thy kindness know. 391, verses 1, 2, and 3. I do not know why we didn't sing the last verse, so let me read it. For thy name's sake, O gracious Lord, revive my soul and bless, and in thy faithfulness and love, redeem me from distress. Wouldn't that have been somewhat the cry and the prayer of these women as they sought Jesus? And that brings me my second thought, my friends. These women have news, and the news is that Jesus told them not to fear. That Jesus whom they sought, they do not need to fear. You hear it several times in this chapter. First the angels in verse 5, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus. And then again in verse 9, as Jesus meets these disciples, he says, all hail. And they bowed down and held him by his feet and worshipped him. And then said Jesus unto them again, don't be afraid. Put away this fear. Don't fear. And they are to bring the message to the disciples. Fear not. That's what God is saying this morning to you, who are like these women. Listen to Jesus saying, fear not. First he used a messenger, a preacher, an angel. Then he said it himself. These women. Everything in them was fear on this Easter morning, as they walked out to this gravesite. They're afraid about the horrible deeds done by the religious leaders, and what's going to happen to them next? They who follow Jesus, who stuck with him, what's going to happen to them? They're vulnerable, weak women. What are they doing? They are afraid about the future. How will they face the future without their master? Without their beloved leader, their teacher, their prophets? They're afraid. Undoubtedly, they may be afraid about the fear that they've deceived themselves with something that now proves to be nothing but a hoax. A man that they thought was the Messiah, but proved to be perhaps not at all to be a Messiah. And as they walked to the graveside, they get the greatest fright. Why? They see the stone rolled away. Mary Magdalene doesn't even go far. She turns around and heads back in the city immediately. While the other, slowly and shuffling closer and closer. What is going on? What has happened? Fear fills their heart. Oh, these poor women. They stand there trembling from head to toe. Fear not, women. It's the first thing they hear. Fear not, you women. His message, you don't have any need to fear. The others do. Those men do. Those leaders do. Those people cried away with him do. But you don't. There's no ground for you to fear. At all. Why don't they need to fear? Well, he says, I know you seek Jesus, which was crucified and he's risen. But I know that. This angel says, I know that you seek Jesus. How did they know that? How do the angels know that? Do the angels know that about you? They do. Or they know you don't. Why? Well, they see you sitting here. They see you living everywhere. They see you in your private room. They see your private devotions. They hear your prayers if you say them out loud. They see what you write down. They see you hear your conversations. The angels are there. And oh, they have been already singing in heaven about these women. Why? Wow, these women were seekers of Jesus. They loved Jesus. They repented from sins. They have a new life that they've seen. The angels have seen that. They are not ignorant of this. And they may say on the basis of the command of God that they have received, undoubtedly go tell these women not to fear anymore. Congregation, friends, they don't need to fear. So you don't need to fear either. If this woman's life is the profile of your life. And that's the joy of Easter. That's the incredible beauty of this message this morning that I may bring to you. Fear not. Here I'm standing as God's messenger, just like the angels on the Easter morning, and I may say to all those of you who are seeking Jesus out of a heart that loves Him, that needs Him, you don't have to fear. There is no reason to fear for you. Why not? For Jesus is risen. What you don't know, women, you are having a tremendous love for Jesus, but you have quite a misunderstanding about Him. And maybe you do too yet. Maybe you can't deny the love for Jesus. Maybe you can't deny you need Jesus. But do you understand Jesus? Do you understand who He is and what He did and what has happened? What is their misunderstanding? And maybe it's yours. Well, women, you don't know that your rabbi that you've been following for these 3 years is not only your prophet, he's your priest. He's your priest who is come to do the priestly work. No, not only is he your priest, women, you are not understanding. He's not only your priest, he's the Lamb of God as well. No, women, you don't understand. My friends, you understand. Not only is he the priest, not only is he the Lamb of God, his death on the cross was his sacrifice for you, for your sins. See, that's what Easter means. Women, you don't have to fear anymore. You don't have to be afraid. And see, as Jesus comes to these women as they're running home, he meets them and they fall down at his feet. And the first thing what Jesus says is, he second what the angel said. Do not be afraid. There's no need to fear. Jesus is risen for you. Now that's not a simple and a beautiful message for all those who truly seek Jesus as these women. Take a close look at the profile of these women. Do you esteem the Lord Jesus and His revealed will as far as you understand? A question. Do you love the Lord Jesus even though you know Him so little, and even though you may serve Him so poorly? Do you love Him? Does your heart go out after Him? You miss Him. And He doesn't show or speak. Do you feel like Mary Magdalene when you hear a sermon in which Jesus is not preached and you say, oh, please show me where you've laid Him? Is your heart heavy because you don't see Him? Do you trust the Lord Jesus even though you fear to call it trust? Now, these are questions you must answer this morning. You must answer them now. Do you trust Him for who He is and for what He's made known of Himself as far as you know what you know? Yeah? Is that trust in your heart? Do you seek Him to be your Savior only? Nothing, nothing but Him only. Do you love those who love Him and who seek to walk uprightly, such as Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea and all the other disciples, though they are indeed failing men? Come, friends, let me sum it all up. Does it live in your heart? Does it live in your heart? To whom else shall I go, Lord? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I know of no other. I want no other than Thee alone. Is it? Then hear what God is saying to you this morning. Do not be afraid. Hear Him? Do you hear what Jesus says? Be not afraid. Do not fear. Do not fear. A few moments later, and Jesus, they loved, met them in person, you see. And what He said to them as they are beholding Him there, standing suddenly in front of Him, He says, "All hail." What does that mean? That means rejoice. Well, rejoice now. Here I am. The one you thought was dead and gone, and it was all over. Rejoice, women, put away these fears and grasp my message of the resurrection. And oh, they would have grasped it later more and more. But what is the message of His resurrection? What is now the message this morning? Come, seekers of Jesus, listen now, go. You know what He's saying this morning in the resurrection? I have put away your sin forever. I have paid the price of your sins completely. That's what happened there on the cross, because I was wounded for your transgressions. You see my back there on that cross? All those stripes were to heal you from your sin. I have blotted out all your transgressions. Come, children of God. Come. Let me go a little lower. Seeker of Jesus. You don't need to call yourself a child of God, maybe, this morning. You seeker of Jesus, hear what Jesus says to you this morning. Don't be afraid. I was sacrificed to pay for all your sin. And it was accepted by my Father. And that's why I stand here in front of you, alive. I've risen. And I was raised at the same time. No, fear not. You're not imagining what I'm saying. You're not stealing when you believe me. When you are a seeker of Jesus, you're not stealing any comfort this morning, friends. Don't let anybody tell you that. When you believe this morning what Jesus says, you are not presuming. When you tremble at His word, and when your heart pants after God, and when your soul is bowed down by your sins, and when His loving kindnesses are more than life to you, then you are not stealing. When this morning you embrace this message, no, the messenger, Jesus Himself, and rest your heart on His feet. Fear not. Be not afraid to trust my promises. You see, they went with haste. I'm sure they ran on. And this time not with fear, as they did the first part of their running. They came with haste. And they began to share the message and share the news. Come, friends, if your heart has been nourished this morning, if your soul heard this morning what Jesus said to you, then let your feet run today, especially in this day and age we live today, there are people in this world who need to hear out of your mouth. Be a preacher. Even if you're a woman, here were the first preachers on Easter, and they were women. Oh, they had no ordained office. You understand what I mean. But go and let your tongue be a preacher, especially to the many around us that are gripped with fear and despair and sorrow and heavy hearted. And no, most of them are not at all troubled about their sins. Not at all. Only about the results of sin, about the fears of what they're going to lose. But still they need to hear the same message. They need to hear the testimony of the church that God is real and His word is true and the message is a message of hope. The truth always remains that a lost sheep needs to be led rather than to be driven. And though there's many lost sheep around us that have no need of a shepherd, they don't feel the need of their sin, they need to be led. And what could lead them? Oh, the testimony. Like the women. Behold, He's risen. He is alive. He has conquered this impossible of death. Oh, that is indeed true that you catch many bees with sweet honey. You know that a light in the darkness always allures. And you know that a fire always kindles more fire. Come on, Church of God. Let's speak about the Easter Gospel to whatever ear we find in this week before us. The people at the gas station, the people in the Walmart that is loading the groceries in your shopping car, in your car. Come on, let's find the audiences that are all over the place that need to hear what you heard today. About the Lord. Go quickly and tell others about this great news that Christ has conquered death. That the Almighty is able to straighten what is crooked. That the Almighty is able to free what is broken. That He is able to heal what is wounded. That He is able to cheer what is saddened. That He is able to ransom what is guilty before God in all His holiness. And that's the message we are to bring as children of God. Amen. Let's pray together.